Hey, welcome to the Vineyard, everybody. Welcome to those of you joining us online, whatever place or space you're joining us from. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. Hey, can we, those of us in the room, can we welcome the online people today? Come on, let's hear it for them. Let's welcome the online. Hey, and while we're at it, can we make some noise for all those who are baptized here today? Come on, let's hear it for them. Woo! Well, I want you to know something today. Whether you're joining us in the room or you're joining us online, you are making history today. You're going, why? Because of this. I've been pastoring this church now for 28 years. I started when I was 7. We have never, in our 28-year history, ever done an 11-part series before. We've done 10. We've done the Ten Commandments. But we've never done an 11-part series before. So congratulations. Give yourselves a round of applause. An 11-part series. Today's the last part. And if you've been here for all 11 parts, give yourself a raise. Okay, so we've been in a series called 23andMe, which is a series based on the most popular chapter in the Bible, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is only 6 verses, but it is packed full with so much that it's taken us 11 weeks to go through this series. Psalm 23, you've probably heard it before. Even if you've never been to church before, you've probably heard it before. Parts of it, it goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And now we get to our last verse. We've covered all of that before. We get to our last verse today. Now, I want to hear you. I want us to read this out loud together, both in person and online. I want to hear you. Ready? Here we go, all together out loud. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, before we get to that last verse, because that last verse is so good, you know, we've covered so much ground in this series. And look, if you've missed any of the previous 10 weeks, you've got to go. You've got to binge watch them on Netflix today. They're not on Netflix, but you can get them on YouTube, on our website, on our app. You've got to get some of the other parts because we've covered so much ground. We talked about the goodness and faithfulness of God. We tossed out a word we don't use all the time. We tossed out the word anointing, which means that God wants you to experience his supernatural power and presence all the days of your life. We heard in this series, we heard from a very own Pastor Paul who battled cancer, but now is cancer free. And Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul shared with us via video about when we walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and we talked about these things. We talked about the rod and the staff. Now the rod and the staff. A lot of you know about the staff, but a lot of you don't know about the rod. A shepherd carried a rod and a staff. And I'm not gonna tell you all about it. You gotta go back and you gotta look it up. But we talked about this. We talked about the rod and the staff. We talked about how God wants our cup to overflow. And oftentimes we live our lives like all we have is a cup full of water. That's all we got. All we got is one cup, and I can't give it away because all we got is a cup. But God wants you to know that you don't have a cup. God says this. God says, look, he's got a hose, and God's going to overflow your cup. He's going to overflow your cup. And so we talked about all this stuff over these past, it's been just a wild series for us. One of the best I think we've ever done here at this place is the series we're wrapping up today. And I love how David, the author of this psalm, wraps up this psalm with this final verse. Because he says, not only is the good shepherd going to be with you all the days of your life here on earth, but he's going to be with you one day after you die. He's going to still be with you. He says, this isn't all there is. There's more to this life. And he says, we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about heaven. And so as we're going to see today, heaven's amazing, but you know what? There's a lot of fake news out there about heaven. A lot of fake news about heaven. And you might have seen, you might have heard things about heaven, seen things about heaven. I went this week, just I Googled heaven just to see what would come up. Okay, here's what I got. Lots of country songs about heaven. A couple massage places about heaven. And a distillery, right? They're making whiskey, and here's their tagline. They've been listing spirits since 1935. So I want to talk to you a little bit about heaven today. Okay, so if you could do something for me, if you could locate an outline. Here's how you locate the outline on our Miami Vineyard app. Is a digital outline. You can locate that. If you've not downloaded the app yet, there's a QR code. You see it on screen. Also, if you're here in person, you see it on the seat backs there in front of you. You can download an app, our Miami Vineyard app. Go to your app store. And what's on the app is an outline, both in English and Espanol. You can track with me a little bit today. If you want to take a few notes, you actually type them right there on the outlines, and it's right there for you. So I want to just talk about heaven a little bit today, because a lot of fake news out there. So let's talk about some truth today, because these things all come from the Bible. Here's what the Bible says about heaven. So first of all, if you're taking notes, what is heaven? First, it's a physical place, not a state of being. A lot of people think that heaven isn't real, that it's a mental state. It's an ascent. It's a state of mind. It's nirvana. It's a dream. But heaven is a literal place. Jesus said it like this. He said, there are many homes up there where my Father lives, and I'm going to prepare them for your coming. So folks, here's the good news. You got a condo in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever just for a moment just imagined what a home in heaven must look like? I wish there was Zillow we could see in heaven. I'm just curious, how many of you like to go on Zillow and just check out homes? Come on, let me see your hands. Any Zillow people? Come on, Zillow people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, if you're joining us online, just come on, put Zillow in the chat if you're a Zillow person. My wife's a big Zillow person checking out homes online. So we did a little Zillow checking. We found one of the most expensive homes we could find in Miami-Dade County. That's for sale right now, okay? You can get it for the small asking price of $55 million. Actually, I lied. It's $54,900,000. I lied. It's on sale. Here's a picture of the home. Okay, here it is. $55 million home. Here it is. On the water, right here in Miami-Dade County, it can be yours. Now think about it. That home was built by people. Think about homes in heaven built by God. That home you see right there, which I just showed you, that's going to be a shack in heaven. Imagine what your home's going to look like in heaven. So it's a physical place, not a state of being. Jesus made it very clear it's a physical place. Look at the next thing. If you're taking notes, it's a permanent place that will last forever. It's not like in 10 years they're going to come down and bulldoze it down. It's not like they're going to put an expressway ramp right in front of your building. That's going to cut off the front porch of your building. And now to get into this parking lot, you got to go all the way down and around to get in here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Okay, that ain't going to happen in heaven. And here's the next thing in heaven. It's a reserved place for God's family only. Now, let me explain this, because that sounds very exclusive. So let me explain. God invites everyone to come to heaven. Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited. But not everyone's going to be there, because not everyone has accepted the invitation. But everybody's invited. All you got to do is accept the invitation. Look at this. Revelation 21 says, only those names written in the book of life will be able to enter. What's the book of life? It's the guest list. Some of you may have had the opportunity sometime in your life to maybe go to some kind of an event where you had to have your name on a guest list to get into the event. 7 years ago now, I had the opportunity to meet the head coach of the Miami Heat, Eric Spoelstra. And Eric Spoelstra said, hey, Pastor Kevin, he said, I'd love to have you be a guest of mine at one of the Heat games. And I said, oh, I'd love it. I said, I'm a big Heat fan. I'm a big sports guy. And so he said, look, you're going to be my guest. You can sit a couple rows behind, you know, the players, and you get a parking. I'm going to have you park where the players park, where I park, and that kind of thing. And I said, okay. I said, cool. What do I do? He said, I'll send you a text. So he sends me a text to this entrance into the American Airlines Arena that, you know, is a kind of an exclusive entrance. And as I get there, I realize there's other people coming in this entrance as well. And there's cars in line that I don't even recognize, and because they're so fancy. And I'm in that line with my Toyota, feeling proud, baby. Yeah, come on. And then there's a security guard there with a clipboard. And I can see that they're checking names. Now, most of these people they know because they're regulars, and so they just wave them on in, but they get to me and they don't know me. And I got to tell you, I get a little scared. Like, what if my name's not on the list? I had to give them my driver's license, and they go down the list. Okay, Mr. Fisher, go on in. And so, but my name was on the list, and I had confidence my name was on the list because Coach texted me and told me my name was on the list. So, how do you know if your name's on the list to get into heaven? How do you know if your name is on the list? Because there's a lot of fake news out there. A lot of people think, well, I get my name on the list, the book of life. I get my name on the list if I do more good things than bad things. Can I tell you that's fake news? That's not how you get your name on the list. It's not about good things and bad things. Not at all. I get my name on the list if I go to church every week, if I attend, join online or in person every week, and if I give 10% of my income, 11% just to make sure. Can I say, look, those are all good things, but that's not how you get your name on the book of life in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place, and only perfect people get to go there. And so I lost my chance a long time ago, and so did you. So it's not about good things and bad things. Heaven, we get to go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's how we go to heaven. It's not about what we do and don't do. Now, this is important what we do and don't do, but it's not about getting in. We get on the ticket of Jesus because there's nothing we can do to earn it. Heaven is a gift. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And by what Jesus Christ has done for us, when he died on a cross and shed his blood for us, we get in on his ticket. It's what we're celebrating today with baptism. I love the baptism. Those are celebrating. The people have made a decision to follow Jesus. And so this is just we're celebrating a symbolic celebration. They're going down in the water. They're coming back out of the water saying, my new life, I'm alive in Christ. And I love what's happening here today. That's how we get in heaven. We get in heaven because we believe in, not just mentally, but we trust in, we adhere to, we cling to, we believe in the person of Jesus Christ. So how is heaven different from earth? Because again, a lot of fake news out there. And you have seen depictions of heaven, right? In movies and TV. And here's how they often show heaven, right? Everything is totally white. Like, I just don't get it. Like, why would everything be totally white when everything is in living color here on this planet and then heaven's totally white? I don't get that part. But anyway, that's how they depict it. And there's fog, right, everywhere. So you can't even see your feet. Like, from the knees down, there's fog, right? You don't know if people got shoes on, feet. You don't know if they got legs. I mean, there's fog. Everybody's wearing a robe. And then oftentimes people are wearing wings. Now, can I tell you something? Here's what the Bible says. In the Bible, there are beings in heaven, angelic beings in heaven that have some wings. Some do, some don't. Okay, but those are angels. When we get to heaven, we don't become angels. I know that sounds nice, but we don't become angels. Angels are angels and humans are humans. I know that's sometimes hard to believe, especially hard for me to believe because I feel like I married an angel. And so that's so hard for me to believe. Oh. But we got this white robe. We got this white robe. We sit on a cloud playing a harp. For eternity. God, I hope not. Because that's heaven. I'd rather stay here in Miami with beaches and ocean breezes. Okay, that's not heaven. I don't know where they get that idea. Those things aren't even in the Bible. So anyway, I don't know where they get those ideas. So heaven won't be anything like we see depicted in movies. But the truth is, we do get a glimpse of heaven. The book of Revelation in the Bible, the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation gives us some glimpses, some peaks. We don't get a full... A couple thousand years ago, John, the Apostle John, got a vision of things he couldn't even put words to. And so he tried his best to put words to things he didn't even was able to put words to. So in Revelation, we've got a glimpse of what heaven. Here's a couple things the Bible says heaven's going to be like. You know in heaven, there's going to be no more anger or hate. Everyone's going to genuinely love each other, genuinely. People from all languages and colors and classes, they're going to appreciate and love one another. Can I tell you how much I'm looking forward to that? No hate in heaven. No race or language or gender has privilege over the other. We are simply going to all love one another. Can I tell you, I'm looking forward to that. The Bible says no more tears in heaven. Look what it says in Revelation 21, 4. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. After this year we've just had with COVID, can you imagine? No more COVID, no more disease, no more sickness, no more loss, no more losing season for the Dolphins, no more. No more death or crying or sorrow or pain, no more. Some of you have lived for weeks, months, years. Some of you, for a big part of your life, you have lived with chronic pain. Whether it's been physical pain, relational pain, emotional pain, mental pain, you've lived with chronic pain. Can I tell you, in heaven, there's no more pain. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more tears. For the last 20 years of my father's life, he fought Parkinson's. For the last 5 years of my mother's life, she battled breast cancer courageously. My mom and dad are both in heaven right now. And there's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. There's no more tears. So here's a question I often get asked. Pastor Kevin, here's one of the big questions I get asked. Pastor Kevin, what will we do in heaven? Because people are like, they're thinking they're going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp all day. And they're going, Pastor Kevin, please tell me that's not it. Because I don't know if I want to go. If that's what I'm going to do all day. I mean, is heaven going to be one big church service? No, look, I love church. Love church. But I don't want to be in church all the time. I'm just being honest. So is it going to be like, what's going to happen in heaven? Here's the question people are asking. Here's what they're asking. They're not asking me directly, but here's what they're asking indirectly. They're saying, Pastor Kevin, will I have any fun in heaven? That's what they're asking. So I can assure you. See, people think heaven means no more fun, sir. Are you kidding me? Just think about this. This is the God who gave us taste buds, right? And then gave us pollo tropical and fritanga. I mean, this is that God. You think, this earth is just a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. It's just an appetizer of what heaven's going to be like. That's all earth is. I mean, this is the God. This is the God who created billions of stars and over 9 million species of animals, different species of animals. He could have left out cats, but 9 million species of animals. Have you ever looked at some of these weird animals? I mean, God's got a sense of humor. This is the same God who turned water into wine. Water into wine. Make sure you got the answer on wine. Okay, this is that God who this is the God who raised the dead, healed the sick, walked in the water, fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. This is the God who appeared to Moses in a burning bush and the bush didn't burn up. This is the God who Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the grave. And Jesus appears after rising from the grave and says, how do you like me now? This is that God. And we wonder if we're going to be bored in heaven. Absolutely not. Absolute fake news. The devil wants you to think you'll be bored in heaven, but not God. This is that God. You think God wants to have a little fun? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in heaven we're going to be able to eat in heaven and never gain weight. Woo! How many guys? Come on, let me see your hand. Somebody, I'll take that. Yeah, come on. I'll take that. So again, the Bible gives us some glimpses of heaven. Just glimpses, glimpses. So let me give you three things. What would you do in heaven? Let me give you a couple, three things. If you're taking notes, let me give you three quick things we're going to be able to do in heaven. One, we will be reunited with those who love Jesus. I love the way this reads. There will be one huge family reunion with the Master. I love that. Some are going, Pastor Kevin, I don't know if I want to see some family members in heaven. Some of you going, Pastor Kevin, I hope it's a big place because I don't know if I want to bump into my ex in heaven. Okay, here's the part. There's a verse in the Bible that has given me great hope. Here's what the Bible says, that before we get there, we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I can't explain everything that means, but it means, look, there's no jealousy in heaven. There's no anger in heaven. There's no hate in heaven. All that stuff is gone. So some of these people that have followed Jesus that were going, I don't know so much. Look, we're all going to be changed. We're all going to love one another, appreciate one another. It's going to be an entirely different world, entirely different experience. You never got to worry about that. It'll be one big family reunion in heaven. And can you imagine? You know, you've been there. Some of you have been there. I see it happen all the time. You drive by cemeteries and gravesites, and you see people there at the graveside mourning the loss of their loved ones. And that's a good thing to do, by the way, to cry and to mourn. That's a good thing. They miss them. But in heaven, you're going to see them again. If they said yes to Jesus, you're going to see them again. You're going to see them again. Look what it says. So reassure one another with these words. Look what it says. So reassure one another with these words. Because back in Jesus' day, there was a group of people called the Sadducees who did not believe in the life after this one. They said, this is all there is. There's still a lot of people now who believe this is all there is. There's this life and there's no more. That's why the Bible says it this way. So reassure one another with these words. Reassure one another with these words. You can count on it. You can bank on it. You can know that there is another life after this one. Another life after this one. You can count on it. You can know. You can know. So first, we'll be reunited with those we love. Here's number two. We will be rewarded for our faith, hope, and love. Now, Jesus talked about this a lot. He made statements like this. Even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you're going to get credit for it in heaven. You're going, wait, just time out there, preacher boy. You told us just a minute ago that I can't earn my way to heaven. So what are you talking about now? Okay, I'm not talking about earning our way to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. You get to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. He died on the cross for my sin, for yours. He was raised from the grave to give us life. We open our life and our hearts to Jesus Christ. That's the ticket to heaven. The Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works. So nobody can boast. I mean, the Bible couldn't be more clear about it. So what are you talking about here, Pastor Kevin? Okay, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that there is a connection between earth and heaven. There is a connection between what we do with our life on earth. There is a connection between how we live our lives here and how we live our lives there. There is a connection. It's not a ticket in. A ticket in is by Jesus Christ alone. But once we get in, it makes a difference how we live our lives here to how we're going to live our lives there. There is a connection. How you live here matters. You don't get in that way. You get in because your name's on a guest list because Jesus Christ put on a guest list. But how we live there matters. It's a connection, how we live here. There's going to be an award ceremony in heaven. Do you realize that? The Bible talks about an award ceremony. It's going to blow the Oscars and the Grammys away. Every time you help someone, every time you were generous, every time you were kind, every time you shared your faith, every time you took a stand for injustice, every time you helped and fought for the marginalized and for those who didn't have a voice, every time you did anything godly, anything godly, you're going to be rewarded for that one day. The Bible says it like this, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Because here's what the Bible is saying in that verse. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes it's just not always easy doing it the right way. It's not always easy doing it the Jesus way, living the godly way. Sometimes I just get sick and tired of doing the right thing. And I'm a pastor. But I just do. And the Bible's saying, look, don't get sick and tired of doing the right thing because you're going to be rewarded for it one day. Never get sick and tired of doing the right thing. Never. You're going to be rewarded for it one day. And then here's number three. We will be assigned work that we enjoy doing. Some of you are going, I knew there was a catch. I knew it was too good to be true. Because you're thinking about work right now, you're going, I hate my job. Like, I don't, what? Do you realize this? Work here. Work is a blessing. Work was part of the original creation in Adam and Eve before they ever sinned and ate from the tree. Work was already part of it. Work is a gift from God. We did a series years ago called Thank God It's Monday. Because work is a blessing. So work is a gift from God. And in heaven, we're gonna have work that we love to do. We love to do that breathes life into us. And again, there is a connection between how we live our life here to what we're going to be doing there. There is a connection. What we do here affects our life there. There is a connection that this life matters. This life matters. Look, Jesus, and look what happens. Here's the words I can't wait to hear. And now this isn't just for pastors, it's for everybody. Look what Jesus says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things on earth. I will now put you in charge of many things here in heaven. Come, share your master's happiness. Now, what's he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. We've all been entrusted with gifts, talents, abilities, resources. Every human being on the planet, every 7 billion person has been trusted with gifts, talents, abilities, resources. Now, not the same amount, all different amounts. It's never been about the amount. It's about how we handle it. And so God says, look, I want you to use your gifts, talents, abilities, resources, money, all those things. I want you to use them to help people, to serve people, not just to spend them all on yourself. You can spend some on yourself, but so many people just live their lives just consumed with themselves. And God says, look, I didn't give you those things to be consumed, to be just self-serving. I gave you those things to serve other people, to make a difference in the lives of other people. And every time we serve somebody else, every time we make a difference in the life of somebody else, every time we do that, it's noted in heaven, because what we do here, how we live here, matters one day in heaven. See, folks, these two worlds are connected. What happens here on earth matters in the life to come. You were born to last forever. And this good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. This good shepherd will not only be with you here and now, but he will be with you in the next life to come as well. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me here for just a moment? In the room, those of you online, look, I just want to today just take a moment that you can be sure that your name is written in the book of life. That if you have any doubts in your mind that you're going to be in heaven one day, I want to clear all those doubts off of you right now. And so, if there's never been a time in your life, if there's never been a moment where you have said yes to Jesus, you've opened up your life to Jesus, and I would like to invite you to do that right here, right now, in this space. Whether you're in the room, whether you're online, just follow me in this simple prayer and say, Jesus, today, I believe in you. I believe that you came to earth. I believe that you died on a cross. I believe that you gave your life for me. I believe that you rose again from the grave. And Jesus, today, I say yes to you. Today, I want to follow you all the rest of my days. Not just believe, but to trust in, to cling to put my hope in. So Jesus, today, I say yes to you. And so I want to do something right now together for all of us. In the room, online, I want to do something together for all of us right now. And that's this. I want to, guys, this is our final week of Psalm 23. And I just want to ask us, I want to close out this time together by us reading Psalm 23 together, just in unison, whether in the room, whether online. I just want to read Psalm 23 together in unison. You see it up on the screens? And so let's just take a moment right now and let's just read this out loud together. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a banquet for me in front of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.